Once more, greetings. Morning. Morning. Grace and peace be unto you as we experience the joy of being worshiped together. Amen. I know in a few weeks your pastor will be back, and in the meantime, we pray that the pastoral family, both the pastoral family and the congregation, will be continually blessed. Here we are, in the midst of summer, time for celebration and vacation. How are your vacation plans going? Come on, we are in a dialogue. How are your vacation plans going? Or you don't have one? Which is it? Well, if you have, that's good. But if you don't, you got to lighten up. Many people today are overworked and underappreciated. We ought to be able to enjoy life and no good, satisfying relationship. And because of that, some of us have to build that bridge in our daily lives. Do you agree? Come on now. Do you agree? Because there's nothing quite as satisfying as rest after hard work. But what if you work hard and never get any real rest? Did you know that everyone is supposed to have 30 hours of leisure time available each week? Yes, in New York. In New York. Well, we all know the work week hours, don't you? How much is it? Come on, what is this? You all are working people, are of work. You know the working hours. How much is the working hours of a week?
65.
No, come on. No, that's not so. Well, the legal working hours is what? 40 hours, right? That means from Monday to Friday, 8 hours a day, 40 hours. But then every one of us is supposed to have 30 hours of leisure every week. And as the question that was asked, in New York, yes, in New York, we have to have that in our lives. Not having that time of leisure, it has the advantage of drawing us closer to the edge of burnouts. Because it is like we don't know to slow down. So, again, how many of us celebrate those 30 hours of leisure in a week? I wouldn't even say in New York, I'd say in Patchogue. We need to have that. And as we do so, we'll realize that even in the small things, we will be able to see the presence of God and God's blessing. Amen?
Amen.
So then, enjoy the summer before it's over. Okay? Amen? Well, yes, summer. But summer also is a time for love and weddings. And the story of our first readings this morning is one of the most fascinating story, because nowhere in the Bible do we see such a rich description of what has been one of the most ordinary happenings in family life. That is, arranging of a marriage. Think of it. the wonder of the Bible, highlighting the commonality of life and living. The stuff of what life is made of, along with the continual and available presence of God, guidance as we do that. Think of just that the Bible delves into something so common for us. It tells us then the wide width of the Bible. And that's why the Bible is a gem. It is a gem that we need to look at, we need to hold, and to see in all its context. So then, you notice that the text that we read, we just took out certain verses. But now, knowing that you have this time of leisure, when you go home and you get on the couch, turn around and open your Bible and read this chapter of Genesis 24 once more. Read it so that you can see, as you read it, how you think about times in your life when you can identify God's guidance in our situation played out with that presence. Promise? Come on now. Promise? Read that. Go take the time. Just curl up as you would, I don't know, any of the popular pocketbook that is being read, but, well, just take it. Just take that time. Just curl up on the couch and just take the time. It's a long chapter. Just take a time. Read it and think it through and see how is it that relates in that story relates to you, how God manifested in your life in ways that you could see his presence in it. As you will see, and as you have heard in the reading this morning, you could say that the story is one of mission impossible. Or you could say it was a mission filled with coincidences. Or maybe you could also say it's a story of a hands-on God. Whichever side you stand, the fact is that Abraham understood that his son Isaac needed a wife. Isaac was broken after the death of his mother, who had given birth to him late in life. And yet, Abram knew that the best cure for heartbreak back then, as it is today, is?
Love!
Hey, you got it! Yes, is love. Even at that time, when we said it's better than the dawn of civilization. It was acknowledged that a remedy for heartbreak, for broken hearts, it was the medicine of love. And it was then, and it is for us even today. Some things are just eternally real, and love is one of them. Abram knew that his son needed a new reason to live. So Abram sent his servant, whose goal is to find a suitable wife for Isaac, a woman, listen to this, a woman who is willing to travel far from her own land to marry a man she has never met. Listen to that. This is the core of the story. A woman who is willing to travel far from her homeland to marry a man she never met. Yes. Well, in those patriarchal times, this mission may have been an impossible, may not have been an impossible task, but the servant does not seem optimistic about his chances, for success. So he prays hard. He carried out his assignment prayerfully. In fact, he laid eyes on Rebecca while in the middle of a conversation with the Lord. And we can pick up the play-by-play as that story unfolds. Here is what the servant was saying. "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. I am standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the tongue people are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I say, 'Please offer your jar that I may drink,' and who will say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." And while the servant was speaking, Rebecca showed up, said all the right words, offered the stranger a place to sleep that night, and then ran home to tell her folks, wearing a newly acquired bracelet on her arms. Coincidence? Can you say that? Is that coincidence? Well, sometimes God speaks to us through coincidences. It's amazing the number of times you can be thinking of someone, and at the very moment the phone rings with that person on the other end. What do you say? Are you a bit broken down in your car and needed help, which arrives out of the blue? Coincidence? I know you all have experienced this, especially that amazing instance or fact that you may be thinking of someone, and what is the common word that we say? My ears were ringing. I was calling you to me. That's what you'd say. Because there is some connection that you find taking place. And you can say coincidence. But here, Deepak Chopra, in his book, The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, urges us to notice and cultivate coincidences. For he says, coincidence are always the hand of God. How about that? Coincidences are always the hand of God. Let me say this. When our hearts are open fully to God through prayer, the resulting blessings may be predictable. But believe it, it's not coincidence. Because there is a connection. There is a connection. And it's not a random connection. It is a connection as you have prayed with your whole heart, hoping to the presence of God. Amen? It's simply amazing how God works in our life. Isn't it true? Tell me, it does work in your life?
Yes.
Then? Isn't it amazing how God works in our lives?
Yes.
The servant prayed for a coincidence when he assumed that Rebecca will get water for him and for his camels. Rebecca, Isaac's future wife, using exactly the words that the servant suggested. The question is, would Rebecca accept the mission the servant proposed? There certainly was incentives, but Rebecca knew very few details. She could not have known that her acceptance would make her a crucial figure in God's great plan. That she would have twin sons, the name of one of those sons would become Israel, our grandchildren would become the 12 tribe of Israel. She knew none of this. But when asked if she would go with this man that she had never met, she said readily, yes, yes. So again, this chapter is one of the Bible's great love stories. But not so much because of the love of Rebecca for Isaac or Isaac for Rebecca. Their marriage was a blind date and a life sentence. And some argue that the marriage itself left a lot to be desired. But it's a great story because it demonstrates God's abiding interest in our personal lives. God understands our needs and our desires. Isaac, depressed and mourning and without a life companion, was in desperate need of a reason to live. And God gave it to him. Amen? Amen. In this story, as well as in the story of our lives, we see that God knows our needs before we are even able to articulate them ourselves. It's that thing with the God of ours. As he was also in Isaac's life, bringing together God's plan for Isaac's future. Isaac could not have known the prayers, the time and effort, the sacrifice, the concern, the negotiating and bargaining that went on to bring the plan of God into reality. God was not only faithful to Isaac, but he was faithful also to Rebecca, one of the great women of the Bible. How innocent that trip to the well must have appeared that morning. What if she had not been faithful in her daily responsibilities? God saw in her someone to whom he could entrust the fate of an entire nation. See, Rebecca was a girl who went the second mile in helping people. The test of character was not only in her willingness to give the servant to drink, but also his 10 camels. Because this was some work for a woman to carry that much water from a spring. As someone said out there, God bless her. It is, as we see, that generosity and hospitality are marks of a solid character. Amen? God was also faithful to the life of Abram's servant. His assignment was enormous. He headed out to find a wife for the son of his master. It was an earthly assignment as well as a heavenly mission. So, the takeaway is that no one stands beyond the sweep of God's providence. No one, be man, woman, child, master, servant, husband, wife, son or daughter. What it tells us that God takes care of his own. Amen? Amen. In this case, God brought to Isaac the object of his love affection. See, love is one of God's sweet gifts, and by grace, it reveals itself in many ways. When Isaac looked up and saw camels coming, he could not know that what was coming was his future, his destiny, his great love. When Rebecca looked up and caught a glimpse of the one she had heard about, she prepared to meet him face to face. God fulfilled his purpose for the tribe and for Isaac and Rebecca personally through a string of coincidences. But listen up. Each coincidence coincidence require a human response. If the humans involved had not been open to God and able to intuit what God wanted of them, they might never have responded to God's prompt. They might completely miss the coincidence and thus have thwarted the path of history at God's purpose for humankind. See, there is a thing about this. There is a thing about appetite and craving, which are of a different nature. They are very different. Like a story of a mother with her toddler. A mother was preparing breakfast for her two-year-old daughter. She asked her, "What would you like for breakfast? A bagel or a bowl of cereal?" The little girl answered, "Chocolate." "No," the mother replied, "you can't have chocolate for breakfast. Do you want a bagel or cereal?" Again, the little girl said, "Chocolate." Slightly frustrated, the mother said, "No, honey, you can't have any chocolate until after lunch. Now, what do you want, a bagel or a cereal?" The little girl said with a grin, "Lunch." Like the example, we have many choices when it comes to most important questions: education, common sense, healthy living, wise investment, family. All of these are good to have in the overall plans for our lives. They are perhaps the walls and ceilings and floors of our lives. But none of these are strong enough to be the foundation on which the rest is built. In our text for the day, there is a personal struggle to live by faith. Each character mentioned had to have the trust that can only come by faith. To acquire that trust, each had to have and exercise self-surrender and self-discipline. In so doing, they had to trust that faith would sustain them and that the promise of God were dependable. If we want to hear God speaking to us, we should make sure that we are open to God, that we want to hear Him, and that we begin to look for His voice in many different ways. And then we should treasure and respond to all coincidences, for they may be God's ways of changing our lives too. Amen? Amen? So then, as we go through life and as we go through this summertime, let us be ready to see God in every way, in every form, in every aspect of our lives, so that, be it a coincidence, or be it a situation of just living with a hands-on God, we can find ourselves so that we can continue to live and to trust that His guidance can be ever present in our lives, and that we can live then a life that God wants each one of us to live. Amen? So then, as we go forth, enjoy the summer, and be ready for God speaking to you. God bless.